68. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 61 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arch support experts. Hope you guys are doing well today and hope you guys are ready to talk some more football, not just football. Well, transfer portal news, updates, all that good stuff is still going. Chase, I think we're, what, 6 days in, something like that, almost about a week or so. Yeah, Thursday, it opened up last Friday. So we're about almost a week into this whole thing, and there's been a lot of activity, a lot of news, and we've been covering it, and then we're going to continue to cover that. So I'm looking forward to doing that today. Can't say there's any new commits that we haven't talked about, but there's a lot of guys taking visits, a lot of articles and things coming out. So we'll definitely be touching base with that stuff. And I've got some more thoughts, man. Listen, when I tell you guys, I've been watching so much tape. We've been doing a lot of it with you guys. We've been staying on the stream, right? Because we do 2 hours of radio, but then we've been hanging out an hour, sometimes 2 hours afterwards, breaking some tape down, really giving you guys the most extensive look that we possibly can on all of these players, additions, potential additions that we can. And I even do it after that as well. So I'm sitting here in the evenings also breaking down tape and going and looking at players. So I got a lot of thoughts to offer, and hopefully you guys are enjoying this. I'm enjoying it. I feel like I'm part of the whole little draft process where, you know, in the NFL, man, draft time, everybody's breaking the tape down. So maybe we'll start doing some of that too. Maybe for the NFL draft, we'll break down some prospects like our own and talk about some of that stuff as well. That being said, speaking of talking, we're going to do some talking with a couple of folks you guys are pretty familiar with. Number one, at the top of the hour, we'll be talking with Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver. You guys really enjoy him coming on the show. So we've got him joining us on stream. Again, you can always check us out on the stream at the Miller's Edge completely free. We just ask you hit that like button if you enjoy the content, which I'm sure you guys will. Subscribe, and all that is free as well. That way you stay up to date with the latest that we have going on. Slade's not our only guest for today. We also got another former player joining us this time. Former Clemson player, right? And that's going to be Brandon Clear. Now, if you guys are wondering, like, hey, that sounds familiar. Yeah, well, it's Brandon from last week who called in, and he said he's been listening to the show for a while, and we had a great conversation. You guys enjoyed him so much and said he was speaking facts. Man, y'all wanted to hear more of him. So we got in contact, and I scheduled him in to come back on the show. So we'll hear from Brandon, former Clemson wide receiver, at 11:30, talk all things transfer portal, college football. Man, he's got a wealth of knowledge. He's got the experience as a former player as well. And I'm really curious to get his input and his insight on what's been going on since last time we spoke last week with all this transfer portal activity going on. So we'll definitely we'll pick his brain on that. Plus, if you guys have seen the thumbnail on the stream, I want to dive back into this conversation about the quarterbacks, right? Because again, Ty Simpson officially declared for the NFL draft. I know we talked about it a good bit yesterday, but I really want to deep dive into the two guys that we have that we're looking at being the future here at Alabama. Keelan Russell, Austin Mack. Again, had a little bit of a conversation yesterday, but I really want to get y'all's thoughts on both of these players. Who do you think has the best chance of winning that quarterback one job? Because we know how important that is, right? I mean, being the quarterback, Chase, at the University of Alabama is a big deal. And I know both of these guys, they give us a great option, either one of them. But I really want to dive into that as well. So we'll do that. And you've got the college football playoff semifinals kicking back off. Well, not, no, the semifinals are kicking off tonight. The college football playoffs is kicking back off tonight, right? You've got, who is it tonight, Chase? Is it Ole Miss, Miami? I believe so. You got Ole Miss taking on Miami, which is exciting. I think it's going to be a really good game. I really like to watch Miami's defensive line, see if they can contain Chambliss, who in my opinion has been probably the most impressive quarterback in the entire college football playoffs. So we'll see if Pete Golden can finish this Cinderella story, or does it end tonight, Chase? We'll have to see, but I'm rooting for him. But it can't go wrong either way, because I got connections with Crystal Ball over in Miami as well. So I'm rooting for both those guys. Can't complain either way. That said, let me remind you about our friends over at R&R Cigars. If you're looking for any place to go watch the game tonight, if you're looking for a nice smoke, you're looking for a nice just hangout spot where you can fellowship, watch sports, enjoy a nice drink. They've got over 160 beverages. Bourbons, that is, that they have right there for you. Drink responsibly. Head on over to R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, right here in Tuscaloosa. You can't miss it. It's the big mansion. It's the big white mansion on the corner, and it's a really cool vibe, man. They always have a lot of good stuff going on, great deals, great drinks. They always are looking to innovate and use different things. They're now using some of the products from Yay, Alabama, if you haven't tried some of those bourbons that they've just released. So you can do all that at R&R Cigars. Plus, get you a nice smoke from the best humidor in the Southeast. And again, they always are playing games. We got basketball last night. Unfortunately, that wasn't our best showing against Vanderbilt, but we'll talk a little bit about basketball at some point on the show. But anyway, if you're looking for a place to go hang out, watch sports, man, R&R is the place to do it. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014, the year that I got here. So really cool feature there. Chase, I'm always kind of just scrolling around trying to see kind of what's the latest, right? Like X is like my source of news when it comes to at least sports, I should say. And there's been a couple of things that have come up that have caught my attention, Chase. And I'm not sure how much you keep up with the Pat McAfee show. I don't necessarily watch the whole thing. Matter of fact, I think it's live while we're on air. But I'm always seeing the clips from it. And I do know Coach Saban is a frequent guest on there with Pat. And Pat's been asking him a number of questions. And I don't know if you've seen some of these clips, but he asked about Coach Saban's thoughts on, you know, the program right now, which I got that bookmark. I definitely want to play that because I thought it was interesting. He asked him about his thoughts on maybe not hiring a Saban disciple, one of his guys, somebody from his tree. So there's a couple things that came up on that interview that I thought were interesting. I might play that here in a little bit just to get y'all's thoughts on it, because I thought Coach Saban was very honest and very fair and nothing bad at all. I just thought he was very transparent, which is refreshing, right? Because sometimes I'm like, man.
Monthly test of the broadcast stations of your area. We are testing equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies.
Face tattoo?
Absolutely not.
Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Taxes and fees apply. In-store activation of Gold Unlimited plan or higher required. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
And performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are just best quality to our customers. So we just look at it as, hey, basically, we're your kitchen. You're just coming to eat in your kitchen. Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thank you. Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. It's time to dive into it, Chase. All right, let's talk about it. We got a few things to, you know, run over real quick before we get to our first guest in about 9 minutes or so. We got Brandon Clear, former Clemson wide receiver, but he's from the Birmingham area. He'll be calling in at 11:30. We're going to get his thoughts on all this transfer portal stuff going on. I saw he had responded to one of my video analysis of one of these guys, so I'll even ask his opinion on some of these players. I'm sure he's got a chance to look at them. That said, we had a good question from the chat asking about Kalen DeBoer, and does he, you know, seek out advice from Coach Saban? And just real quick for our radio listeners, I don't think he necessarily is like actively seeking out advice, but I'm sure if there's anything that comes up, he's more than comfortable to reach out, and whether it's a meeting, over the phone, doesn't matter. Now, I do know when he first got here, there was more contact there. But I think now that he's, you know, more established, he's been here, things are kind of rolling, you know, a lot smoother for him, right? I mean, it's, again, his program. It's under his direction. And Coach Saban is not the type to be over in the – I can tell you right now, Coach Saban does not go over there and he's hovering and in the building. He didn't even do that last year, like with the first year, right? Coach Saban's very respectful of the new staff. So it's more so just there if you need it, right? He's there if you need him. If not, you know, he's minding his own business, watching from afar, doing his media job and all that good stuff. A really good question. We had another point that came up in the stream about Cam Coleman. Now, I don't know the updates in terms of visits or where he's at with things, but again, my thoughts on that situation, I just think it's too steep of a price. We're already, allegedly, I mean, I don't know if it's official, but paying one of our receivers well over seven figures probably. You got, you know, Isaiah Horton, who you already brought in from Miami. The number that I heard is still a very high number as well. So you got a lot of money allocated towards that wide receiver room as it is. As talented as Cam Coleman is, I just can't see us over-investing in that room knowing that we have much more important matters, offensive line specifically. And a number of positions, really, but really in terms of the offense, I mean, the offensive line, it has to be addressed. And I just don't think you can afford literally and, you know, I guess figuratively, to pay a guy like that much money when you have much more demanding needs, right, in terms of the guys up front. Because what good are those weapons if you don't have the protection? You know what I mean? So, and if you don't have a running game, which those guys are also responsible for, I think that needs to be, if you're going to put a lot of money into something, take all that money that you would consider giving a skill guy, because we have plenty of them. I mean, let's talk about it. You got Ryan Williams, you got Isaiah Horton. I think he still has to make a decision, but I think the anticipation is that he probably comes back. You have Latier Brooks who re-signed. Kind of crazy that we're saying guys are re-signing. But the reality of it is, Chase, one-year contracts are literally what these guys are under. And that's like from both sides. So, you know, the schools are doing these one-year contracts because they also want to have the flexibility to not renew. But it also works out for the players as well. So on that note, you know, it is what it is. So I saw people talking about the whole re-signing thing. They don't like it in college sports. It sounds weird. Like, you know, you're here on scholarship. Why are we re-signing? But that is the new norm. But I do understand how it kind of rubs people the wrong way. But those are my thoughts on that. But I mentioned that I have some updates, right, in terms of going back and watching some tape on a couple of these players that we've been breaking down. And specifically, I want to talk about the young man from USC, right? And the reason that is we watched him extensively yesterday, right? And I had a number of thoughts, and I'm just going to say this. Everything I said is factual based off of the tape that we saw. However, after watching a little bit more of Devin Tompkins in, you know, several other games and learning a little bit more about his background, I want to update some of my thoughts, right? Because I'm not going to lie, I was pretty critical of what we watched. For the folks that are confused, because I think we did it maybe after we got off radio. We were watching the Iowa game. In which he played last season or this past season. And as you guys know, you know, he's listed as a defensive tackle. He is listed as a defensive tackle anywhere you look for the most part. He's listed at 6'5", I think 290. So my assessment of him was as a defensive tackle because that's what he played on the tape against Iowa. He lined up at nose. He lined up at tackle. There were some snaps in the five technique as well. Like even standing up a couple of times on the edge. But majority, I would say 75% of his snaps at least were on the interior. And that is one of our biggest needs right now. So that's how I was assessing him. However, my correction comes in that after learning a little bit more about his background and learning that I think he's like a former basketball player, came to college as an edge, but then put on a lot of weight. They utilized him as a three technique slash no, sometimes five. They moved him all around, but primarily he played defensive tackle. Now I know a little bit more about him. I can say this, and I tweeted this, by the way. I'll pull it up real quick. I think for us, I think he lands and he settles in as a bandit. And here's why. If you look at his stature, I mean, he's a long guy. And he doesn't, to play tackle, he reminded me of those, like, you know, those big athletic type tackles, so to speak, which would be fine. The problem is, like I showed you guys on tape, he is not comfortable playing inside. And part of me feels like the reason he ended up transferring is probably because he felt that he was being, you know, misused. He was being played in the spot that he wasn't comfortable with and probably didn't want to play. I listened to an interview where he talked about he enjoyed playing inside, but I'm just telling you, everything that my eyes are telling me from the tape, he's not comfortable playing inside. He might on like sub packages, passing downs types, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, in terms of having to take on those double teams, which is a very common thing when teams run duo, right, which has combo blocks, you know, guards and tackles or centers and guards climbing up, they're double teaming on the threes or four eyes or one technique shades. You have to play double teams. And he did not look comfortable to me. And we watched a number of snaps where he was getting, you know, knocked off the ball, driven off the ball, yards down the field. But then I went back and watched the Oregon game all the way through. I watched the Michigan game and I watched another game. And I wouldn't be shocked if maybe he was a little banged up against Iowa. I don't know, because he fared a little bit better in those other games. However, he still is not probably the most comfortable playing inside. That is why after doing a little bit more digging and a little bit more tape grinding, I'm going to say the best way to utilize this guy is to play him in that bandit role, which for you guys that don't know is what LT Overton played. And I'll pull up some tapes so you guys can see exactly what I'm talking about, where he'll primarily be, it's like a strong side defensive end type deal, similar to that. But he'll line up primarily in a five technique, sometimes a six with a tight end to him, sometimes a four eye, which you definitely see some double teams, right, from the guard and tackle, but it's not nearly as much as he would be if he was lined up truly as a tackle. And then in passing downs and sub packages, when it's time to go get it, right, when we're expecting a pass, right, we want guys that can get after the quarterback, which he's displayed the ability to do so. I think you slide him down, then you let him play and work out of a three technique, you know, work the interior, then you bring guys in like Yonze off the edge, Justin Hill, maybe my guy Jordan Ross if we land him. You know what I mean? I think that's how you utilize and get the most out of this guy's skill set. I'm assuming that's what the coaching staff saw when they were recruiting him. Because if you think about it, now that Kelby Collins has also entered the transfer portal, you only have Jordan Renaud, and then you have Kevontae Henry. Outside of that, then you're relying on true freshmen coming in. You need some experience. You need some guys. And now that I think about it, I'm like, all right, I would not leave this guy on the edge like as a full-time. Like if you're talking about you play like true four down and he was like just like a true edge, to me, like 290, I mean, like that's a big edge. However, in our system where there's flexibility, which a bandit also does stand up on the edge, sometimes he drops, which this guy has showed the ability to do a little bit of that. I think he provides a very physical edge. So I'm thinking, all right, first and second down, yeah, he's that bandit. He can play a five. He can play a four, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably where he's more comfortable. My thing was like, all right, if he's already 290, he comes in our weight program, he puts on a little bit more. I mean, that's a 300-pound guy. I mean, that's oversized for bandit. Bandit, I mean, to give you guys some reference, LT Overton about 280 or so, but hey, similar type deal. LT Overton came in as a edge guy and then, you know, beefed up, gained some weight. Jordan Renaud's around like 270 as well. Keon Keeley got up to like 275. So this guy's like 285, 290. That's why I was like, he's kind of on the fringe. He's almost like, that's why I call him like a tweener. He's kind of all over the place. But I think he settles in that bandit. So I just wanted to make that, I don't want to call it a correction because, again, I stand firm by everything I said. Based off the tape, which again, that if you put plays like that on tape, I mean, that's how scouts, coaches, whoever is going to grade you. He was a liability against the run. He did struggle with double teams. And what was the last thing I said? He played with bad leverage, which is still true. I mean, he needs to learn how to play lower. However, that's the assessment from an interior player, a defensive tackle. As a bandit, he's not as much as a liability. If anything, it almost turns a little bit more into a positive because now you're like, oh, you got a 285-pound bandit out there that's long, has length. Hopefully he should hold up easy. He should beat up on tight ends and be just fine holding his weight against tackle. So that said, I feel a lot better than I did yesterday when we initially watched the tape and we viewed him primarily as a defensive tackle. So I just wanted to make that correction because you guys know me, man. We're honest. And then, like I said, I didn't make a mistake, but learning more of his history, it gives me a little bit better of an idea and a more fair assessment of this young man. So I think you guys will be a little more excited about that analysis versus the initial one when we primarily saw him as a defensive tackle. So just wanted to clear that up. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by Brandon Clear on the phone lines right here, 205-342-9904. We'll get his thoughts on some of this and more right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info,
offer ends January 15th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. As we go to the phone lines, and we're joined by our first guest of the day, we got former Clemson wide receiver, who I'm letting it slide this time because he's a great dude, man, knows the ball, and he was cool as hell when he jumped on last time. Brandon Clear, man. Brandon, what's up, man? How's everything been for you?
Christian, it's going great. How about yourself, man?
Man, I can't complain. Listen, I'm a little worn down. I feel like I've been watching tape from like morning to evening. Like I'm learning Spanish, so I'm trying to find ways to still incorporate that. So like my mind, when I tell you my brain is tired, my brain is tired. But I'm great, man. I'm blessed. I wouldn't want it any other way, man.
There we go, man. And again, hard work doesn't sleep. So you're doing exactly what you need to be doing, man. Grinding, 100%. Looking at film, recalibrating. We could jump right into it, man. I got to give you kudos on your Devin Tompkins film work. Again, when I initially saw it, I only initially saw the highlights. And even off the highlights, first thing that popped in my head was, oh, he plays too high. I didn't see the pop, right? And so one thing you said that's interesting, you say he's a former basketball player. That's a little unique in that most basketball players, if they are transitioning over to football, they sometimes have balance depending on the position, right? So as long as he wasn't going out there playing tight end, you can always see that vis-a-vis Draymond Green trying to play tight end. You can see how awkward it was. This dude, you can tell he has some natural ability, but there's certain things that a football player from years on experience that he doesn't necessarily play with his hands. He plays high, so he's trying to peek over the line instead of just trusting technique and feeling out the flow of the offensive line. And then, attach and disengage, right? And so that's one of the things I'm trying to see on film. Does he have the measurables? Yes, right? So he's got the measurables. That's what popped off for me. LT Overton immediately, for me, was playing out of position when he was at Texas A&M. And a lot of folks were pushing aside LT, saying he was overrated, he was a five-star. You know, I don't see the athleticism. It's because when he was at Texas A&M, they had him playing essentially outside linebacker, and he was not an outside linebacker. He was a true defensive end. So that's why the bandit position was the perfect move for LT, and that's when you start seeing him flourish a bit more. So yeah. Devin is in a similar situation where they had him playing over the nose, and I'm like, this dude is not a D tackle, right? He should be at a minimum a bandit. And he does have some ability to drop back in coverage, but I would not even have him doing much of that. Him in the run game, I think that there is some want to, right? I see him wanting to be a run defender, and I think he has some of those abilities to be able to make impacts there. It's just, you can just tell it's a little awkward. And so when I'm looking at it, and from a defensive perspective, a lot of people are trying to go immediately over to Myles Garrett. He's a freak. Somebody that size that can bend the edge is unreal, right? So Jadeveon Clowney was another one of those freaks. They just have an innate ability with long arms, great speed, and they can convert speed to power, but they also can bend. So, so do you remember Kayvon Thibodeau?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, out of Oregon.
Out of Oregon. So a lot of people were like, oh, Kayvon is in that. I said he has no bend. He doesn't have the ability to bend the edge. So when I'm looking at outside linebackers, or I'm looking at DNs that are able to get to the quarterback, they have the ability to bend the edge. They have different moves. They play with great hand leverage, and they can, transform the defense by just simply even getting pressure. A lot of guys feel like that's something that they can do just based off of just imitating whoever they see. But those are just some innate abilities that you just have as an athlete. And so do I believe Devin Tompkins has some capabilities that we can use and again, minimize the impact of LT leaving? You got James Smith leaving, but I think that's just more so replacing him with size and production, because the production was there kind of eerily similar. And I think that a lot of folks, you were talking about Ha-Ha. He's in the building, and you have to read between the lines where he's not trying to, crap on the guy that left. But, James Smith has all the measurables. The question that I often have to ask myself is, does the guy want to be coached? I don't know James Smith. I don't know anything about him. I don't have any insider knowledge. But even when I watched practice film, it looked like he was doing his own thing. And again, not slighting him. He has abilities. He's quick twitch. He has size. He has all of the capabilities to be a great impact player. But for whatever reason, it didn't translate over to production on the field. And so I immediately go to practice. I'm like, what are your practice habits? When you're running a drill, when I see Will Anderson go through a drill, even if it's just something that Alabama's putting out there, he is doing it at game speed. Everything is at game speed. And so there's a reason when Will Smith got into the game, it translates. There's a reason why I see Dallas Turner in practice, and he's working on his hand movement, that he's bending the corner. There's a reason why that translated at Alabama. Right. Yeah. When I saw James Smith in a couple of practice highlights, I was like, what is he doing? Why is he looks like he's barely trying. He's moving his hands, but he's a quick twitch athlete. So he's getting away with these poor habits. No one is correcting him. And I was like, I don't believe that's it. I was like, you can correct him all he wants to, but if he doesn't implement it, it's irrelevant. So, is the guy coachable? I think the Devin Tompkins kid, just being in a couple of interviews, he wants to be coached. He wants to get better. There's a reason why he left USC to come all. He's from California. He's a California kid. He's coming all the way to Alabama. He's hungry. So you're going to be having someone that you can mold. I'm not saying we're not going to miss James Smith. I'm not saying we're going to not miss Quay Rousseau. I think they left for different reasons. But you ask yourself, look, Quay was dealing with an injury, right? So he has to get himself in the right position. He wants to continue playing outside linebacker. He is another one. I think he's playing out of position. What are your thoughts on Quay? Do you think he was playing out of position at outside linebacker? You think he should have been moved inside?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think he was playing out of position. I think he was okay there. I know a lot of people thought he could move to inside given, you know, his build. He's got shorter arms for an outside backer. He's probably 6'1" and a half, realistic. I think he might be listed at 6'2". I don't know, maybe even 6'3". But in person, he's probably about 6'1" and a half. That said, you know, I thought he's okay at outside backer. I just think the biggest thing is, with him, it could be a number of things. I know a lot of people immediately probably jump to, oh, well, he's going to get paid, which, you know, he is probably, you know, pass rushers and outside backers. There's a premium for those guys. But almost wonder, you know, but I almost wonder sometimes with this scheme, I mean, whether you sometimes see like the 3-3 stack stuff. There's just different things that they do. Sometimes guys might not feel like that's really in their best interest. I'm just being completely honest with you. I really think he's a guy to me that could go to a place like Georgia, which they also run some three-man front stuff, but it's more like men front, and the outside backer is still more like a jack like we used to play.
Correct.
I think yeah, I think he could go there, and then you see the third down packages that they have. I think he could go in and excel in defense like that. I think that's something like, you know, maybe. Yeah, you know, so you never know with these guys unless you really ask them. And I haven't talked to any of them personally yet. But James Smith to me I hear what you're saying, and a lot of people, I've heard that narrative. I'll say this because I've been up there at practice. I mean, he does practice hard. I mean, did it take a couple? Did a couple of years? The first couple of years when he was here, did I think he could probably, you know, grow up just a little bit? Yeah, I think he probably would tell you that. But I'll be honest, as of recently, he really was coming around, and he had a couple of injuries here and there that he dealt with. But I think he's in a similar boat where this scheme is a very interesting one. Where on one hand, it is true that it allows guys to play free. It allows them to play upfield and penetrate and do certain things. But sometimes it seems like, just for me watching the tape, sometimes it can be a little sporadic, almost like the tendencies kind of change. It doesn't seem as structured at times. And I wouldn't be shocked, if I'm being completely honest, if both of those guys we just mentioned, if they end up going to another place and they end up, you know, really doing well, just because sometimes guys need a change of scenery. Sometimes it's a little tweak in the system or scheme or position that can really take them to the next level. And that's not necessarily a knock on what we're doing. Maybe we just, you know, ended up turning out to not be the best fit. Because remember, those are two guys that Coach Saban brought in here. So Tompkins, who we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, he's not comfortable playing inside. And it makes sense. A guy with a basketball background is not going to be comfortable banging with centers and guards and then doing double teams and knowing how to drop the knee. And the more I watch him, he definitely needs to be a bandit. I mean, to me, 290, like, you're settling in terms of athleticism. While he's athletic for a bigger guy, I mean, you got to understand, I mean, a 290 on the edge is a lot different than 250. However, if you watch how we utilized LT Overton, and I'm going to pull up some of that tape here on our stream, you know, him in a six technique where he's bullying tight ends, you know, a five technique where he's not worried about doubles and he can, you know, worry about his own, farm his own land with the offensive tackle, heavy-handed guy. Yeah. This guy's got a lot of length. I think he provides a lot more of a physical presence on the edge and early downs. And then when it is pass rush time, I mean, he could rush out of a five depending on, you know, the personnel you're rolling with, or you can bump him down and get two, you know, speed guys on the edge and he can rush out of a three. So after doing a little bit more of extensive of a dive and learning this history, I definitely can see if you move him around and don't play him how his former school played him, he could be a much better football player than we initially saw in some of the tape. Because, the nose and the shade and even him in a three technique, man, that's not his game. Even though he's 290, that's not what he does well. Now, if you need him to penetrate, he can do that. But in terms of actually striking and you know, being able to handle blockers and double teams, that's just not his forte.
Not there yet. No, it's not there yet. And so what I will say, look, James Smith and Quay, those are talented guys. Those are five stars coming out. And what I think the coaches started realizing when they played Indiana doesn't have any five stars. They have grown men that probably got kids and a wife coming into a system. I played when I transferred to Illinois, man. I played at Indiana. It's in nowhere, right? You know, Michael Jackson is a claim to fame in that area. It is a small stadium, and to be honest, it's a terrible stadium, but those people love their team, and they don't have anything else that they actually really just are all in on. So the football team and what Cignetti has been doing, obviously took the stadium blueprint, and he's been molding it into his own when he has an edge to him and a toughness and a swagger. The guys he pulls in are, say, hardworking. Yeah, they're proven performers. They're older. And so this is going to be the last batch of those COVID kids, right? Or COVID men is what I'm calling them. The people that are those six-year seniors, super seniors, that, you know, they were able to leverage a situation to be able to really get more playing, right? So, again, he built his program off that. He pulled in a whole bunch of guys when he was over at JMU, and they have that chemistry. So I just, Indiana was like the perfect storm. I think he can replicate it. I have to give him credit. He's done it 2 years in a row, so who's to say he won't be able to do it again? But what Alabama saw in that entire game is it's not about who's the fastest, who's the strongest. It's technique. So we're doing all these moves. Christian, I know you don't call for coaches to be to step aside. I would highly encourage, if Kalen DeBoer is the person I think he is, you can be loyal. But you need to be true to yourself and say, we have to get people that know how to teach technique, who know how to make sure when you're teaching the technique, that's also translating to the football field. So when I'm looking at a player that has been in your system for 2 years, 3 years, and I haven't seen any growth, then I start becoming concerned as a fan and also as just a football player, right? So again, Pierre is a prime example of the hard work and his technique improved. So this is where I'm like, Freddie Roach has got a bad rap a lot of times, but don't get it twisted. Look, the guy has a really great pedigree. He's been in the system. He knows how this works. I think that he also needs to be assessed in some way, but you're only as good as what you have. And so, you know, Pete Golding was with our squad for quite some time, and people really scapegoat to Pete Golding, right? And here he is coaching, and he might be at a national championship. And his defense at Ole Miss was, to be honest, was actually pretty good. So, you know,
I think they're top in the country a couple of years ago. This year they had some inconsistencies, but I always try to tell people, and everybody used to call my show and like try to mock him and say, oh, you know, he's a joke, he's a drama. I'm like, listen, I sat in meetings with that guy for, I think, 2 years?
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, he knows ball. And Coach Saban loves him. Coach Saban did not, everybody just assumed that Coach Saban escorted him out. Coach Saban did not want Pete to leave at all. He didn't. It worked out the way it worked out. But let me ask you this, because you brought up a good point about, you mentioned HaHa earlier, then you also talked about, well, you know, to be fair, all right, this is my thing with this whole deal. I'm curious your thoughts on this. Because end, listen, HaHa is 100% right when he says, listen, man, y'all got to watch the tape. And I showed you guys tape from the Oklahoma game. And listen, you got to watch more than just one game. I'll be the first one to say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we saw it outside of like the highlights that Keon had. There was a lot of mental errors. There's a lot of things that we need to continue working on. Same with James Smith. I mean, it wasn't, you know, his best showing in that game either. However, I also agree with what you're saying that, well, you also have, you know, when you look at Quay and you look at James Smith, you know, those are two talented players. Well, if you're saying that applies for them, why didn't they reach that potential? To me, that also is a fair question to ask. You know what I mean? So I think it's a two-way street. Like, I think it's very fair. And I heard the gentleman on the podcast I was listening to yesterday, Dwight, had recommended it. And it's a very fair question. You know what I mean? Like, the job of the coaches. But you're right, too, though. And I said this yesterday, you know, I don't think we've recruited well in the trenches. We've recruited a little bit better maybe on the offensive line than the defensive line, but I don't think Freddie Roach has been able to even have the guys that have probably half the quality of maybe the guys I played with. No offense. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just being 100%. Honest. Like, we have not had a Jonathan Allen, A'shaun Robinson, De'Ron Payne in years on the defensive line. So that's something to consider. But if we're going to be honest here and we're going to say, oh, well, watch the tape of these guys. Well, why aren't we necessarily getting the full potential of all of them? Maybe 80% of them, yes. Maybe 80% of them might not have turned out or been the player you thought they were when recruiting. But, I mean, that's fair if someone says, well, what about
Yeah, it's got to be high.
Exactly. Sorry, I had a little mic issue there. But, yes, I was going to say, well, there's a value. Or development, you know what I mean? Like, again, and I'm not criticizing any of those things. I'm just saying if you do take the approach of saying, well, turn on the tape, I think it's fair if people then ask those questions as follow-ups. I just was curious what you thought about.
No, I agree, because, again, you're a reflection of what you are coached, right? Either the coach is allowing it or you're ignoring the coach. And guess what happens with people that typically ignore the coach? they're not playing. Unless you have a skill set that is just crazy. Look, Hollywood, prime example. I'm a Ryan Williams fan. If that was, look, I had one drop in one game. I literally didn't touch the field again, man. I was starting. I played Miami. I dropped the fade route. That was the last time, other than special teams, I wasn't playing. You get a certain leash when you have abilities that can't be coached. But other than that, if you're a guy and I'm seeing the same consistent issues tracking every time. So when Haas said turn on the film, it's funny because it's like, yeah, I'll turn on the film and I'll assess that person, yes. But then I'm also looking at the coach saying, you're allowing it because he's playing. So either he's not, again, is he getting better game from game? So he's learning to gain experience. And so that could be the case. Oftentimes where you're like, this guy's young, he's going to make mental errors, he's going to have mistakes, but you can see the talent. And so that's where with Keon, you could see the talent. And why is the Keon playing? It's like you said, turn on the film, he had mental errors, right? And so you're seeing the flash, but consistency is what coaches often go for. So again, comparing programs, when I watched that Indiana film, man, they don't make any mistakes. Like, I was like, this is crazy. You got the damn deep tackle looping, taking taking the guard and the left tackle with him, and you got the DN or the outside linebacker running free up the hole because he's done his job. He's not looking for the shine. He's like, I'm supposed to be scraping. I'm going to scrape. I'm going to make someone pay. And when my guy comes out of this and he's hit this gap, somebody's going to feel it because he's right there at the right place because he's been coached to do it. So I agree with you. It's like when Haas said turn on the film, it's like, yeah, man. But when I turn on film, I got to look in the mirror, too, and saying that's a reflection of coaching. So, you know, again, everyone has – look, we always talk about process. Accountability is another thing for me. You can't blame the coaches for everything that's happening, as you can also not blame the player for everything that's happening either, because it's being coached or it's being allowed. So everyone – they got to do some internal analysis and again, this is everyone's calling for the offensive line coach to be fired. We don't know what they're going to do once this portal closes. So let's take a beat, allow them to be able to get the players in. They got the left tackle, man. That's who, Jacarius Pete. What do you need, sir? What do you need? We cut the check. You need five? I'm telling you, with Tom Simpson left, I was like, oh, yeah, whatever Ty was making, pay this left tackle. He's nimble, fluid athlete, man. His kick step, like, this is something that bothers me all the time watching the Alabama offensive tackles. That their kick steps are terrible. Like, I was like, why is this guy fading on the kick step? That's why you're getting beat on the inside. Who is coaching this? Why is, you know, I'm looking at Caden Proctor. I'm like, why are you kick stepping out? You're going to get beat on the inside. You're too big. You're not fast enough. You're not that great of a, look, for his size, he's a great athlete. He's not nimble enough to be able to readjust and kick that right arm in to be able to reset once he's all of a sudden kicked outside of where his leverage point is. Right. So then, like, I'm looking at that. I'm just like, Coach Cap, why are you, Proctor, he's a great player, but why are you allowing him to do this? But it's hard for me to argue that when all of a sudden he's making All-American lists. Right. So NFL scouts will have to do an assessment. He's going to be kicked in the guard. Like, that's his true position. He's a guard. At guard, you're going to have a really foundational player, and I think he's going to be impactful. But this guy from that NC State player, I'm telling you, man, cut the check. We're not letting him out of Alabama today. What do you need? Whatever. There's no film discussion. I was like, I don't want to hear none of that stuff. Look, Hollywood Smothers is probably over there saying, hey, bro, let's make this a two-person deal. Let's go ahead and try to reform what Alabama's got going. We need him at left tackle. And once we get that, then you have true competition. You have Jackson Lloyd there. I really believe in his talent. He's just young. He hasn't played, right? So if Jackson Lloyd works out, then you can kick him over the right tackle, and you can kick Mike Carroll on the inside. And you got that the Michigan center slash guard, Strayhorn. He almost likely be the starting center. That's just what I'm reading from it, right? They had a mass exodus of the centers. He's logically probably the next man up. Or next man in, next man up type of situation. So, look, Christian, you said it best, man. The trenches are where it's at. I don't care how much money we're paying for these skilled players. I don't care. They're talking about Cam Coleman. I was like, you don't need another receiver. If you can't run the ball, if you can't set the trenches, it doesn't matter. That's why Ty Simpson's game started dropping, because he was getting skittish in the pocket because he thought there was a pocket that wasn't there because the guys were not able to sustain blocks. So This is where it's all connected, man. It's one of 11. Everyone is accountable. If one person's not doing their job, it all falls. The running backs are a problem. Look, Smothers is going to be somebody that's unique because he can do two for one. He has a feel, he sets up blocks, and he can make a guy miss. We didn't have that this year. That's why the run game was, like, stifled. And when everyone was getting on Milroe, I was like, guess what Milroe could do? He could make one miss, he could make two miss, he could make three miss because his speed. That's why it looked better than what everyone thought it was. But if you look at it, you take Milroe out of it, he's doing handoffs. I didn't see this. But then all of a sudden, Justice goes over and he's balling at Michigan. I'm like, oh, that's coaching. That's the O-line coaching. There's that, or that's scheme. So for me, they need to reassess their scheme, their running scheme. And I would bring in a running coordinator. And I know, look, everyone's got ego. Christian, you tell me, you know it best. You're in that building, man. I'm sure Grubb's got an ego. He would not like it if he feels like a part of his responsibility is being taken away. But in true fashion, in my opinion, they need to go ahead and move him out the way and allow him to be the overall offense coordinator. They need a run game coordinator.
Listen, whatever they need to do to get the run game established, whether that's bringing somebody in, bringing more bodies, that's definitely a part of it. Completely, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. They need to figure something out. But I think it starts with the number of things you mentioned. Definitely offensive line play. We watched Peak yesterday. He's a physical guy when it comes to run blocking. I like it. He has a bad habit of, his hand placement. He's got to work with inside hands before he starts kind of wrapping him around. But we can work on that's technique stuff. That's easy, right? It's hard to coach guys being physical. And then, like you said, he's fluid, a nice kick step. He can play on that island. He handles himself. With him being a little bit more of an athletic tackle, sometimes it's a little bit more of a struggle to hunker down. But listen, I think that's probably a better fit for what we're trying to do here in this system anyway. So I'll take that if that's what we can get. Yep. So we'll be monitoring it. But Brandon, man, I appreciate you jumping on. Wealth of knowledge. Everybody loves it per usual. And we'll look forward to getting you back on here next week for sure, brother.
Absolutely. Christian, I appreciate you. I'm going to leave y'all with this. I know it's the Christian show. We don't need OnlyFans model players, man. I don't care what you look like. I need a wife. So we wifing up people. This is wife and cuffing season. This is the holiday season around us, man. We all been athletes. It's the Christian show.
That's right.
Dispose of the devil. Focus on wifey. We ain't going for OnlyFans model. So if you see Cam Coleman, that's the OnlyFans model. For those that don't follow. That's the OnlyFans model. You don't need OnlyFans model. You need offensive line. You need a wife. You need commitment. Oh. You need security. That's how we go, man. So appreciate you. God bless you, bro. We gonna talk.
Yes, sir. That sounds good, brother. Take it easy, man.
All right, bro. Bye.
Yes, sir. Brandon Clear, everybody, former Clemson wide receiver there. Hey, but he's an Alabama guy in terms of he's from the state of Alabama. I want to say Birmingham. So he's a great dude, man. Always love talking ball with him. We're going to keep getting him on here even more. That being said, we hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we got another former wide receiver, this time a Crimson Tide wide receiver. Your one and only Slim Slady coming up right here.
Allstate. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case in this. I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon, just a few isolated showers through tonight. The high today 70, tonight's low 61. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Rain and thunderstorms by afternoon continue. Continuing tomorrow night, the rain heavy at times, the high 68. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC. Is it even Thursday? I'll be honest with you. I don't really even know at this point, because from the holidays to New Year's to bowl games, now breaking down college football tape literally like all day long, I'm a little lost at times. So welcome back in. We're joined by our guy, might as well be the honorary co-host at this point, Slim Slady, former Alabama wide receiver. You guys already know the name. You guys already know the drill. We're about to chop it up. And Slade, he's joining us from He's different this time. He stepped out of the office, but he ain't got his Peaky Blinders outfit on this time. He's got his athleisure equipment, man. Slade, welcome. Yeah.
Well, as always, appreciate you having me. We got a little, I know you said it first that somebody said I had a driver, but it's my girlfriend, and she's super excited to hear me talk about Bama football for 30 minutes to 45 minutes. But we got a 7.5-hour drive from Nashville, Tennessee to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So, I'm just trying to make it work the best I can. I feel like you got a decent setup, got good lighting.
It's smooth. No, it's smooth, man. You made it out that dead spot. It's perfect now. It's smooth. I like it, man. Again, anybody watching, he's not driving, and I don't know these rules on I know TikTok, we're not on TikTok, but they always act funny. He's a passenger, so just anybody that's watching that. All right, Slade, I gotta just jump right into it with you, man, because last time we spoke, I don't think the portal was open yet. So the portal now is officially open. It's been open about 6 days, right? It opened up last Friday. Have you had a chance? I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on. You're traveling. Wait, real quick, Baton Rouge now. You going to Louisiana State University? What y'all doing down there?
No, you don't mind me asking. I should say we're going to her hometown for a wedding. I'm not getting close to that campus, trust me.
I mean, I wouldn't blame you. They got, was it Mike the Tiger roaming around? Go pay him a visit, maybe. Go feed him.
Maybe when Bama plays this year, I'm going to play there. We might go, but.
I forgot.
That'd be my only time.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah. I don't think I've ever been there outside of a sporting event, but my experience there, the games are fire. The people are crazy. I mean, had guys trying to run on our bus. I don't know if that might have been the same year you were there, 2018, I believe. Yeah, we played at LSU. Guy tried to.
I didn't travel that game. I was registered, so I miss a bunch of away games. I wish I'd been at that one.
I
remember hearing about that. That's crazy.
He literally just like ran through the motorcade and was like trying. I thought, I was like, oh, this guy must be like a staffer or something. Then they slammed him off the door. And I was like, hey, okay, well, he's not supposed to be there. Well, because, I mean, he looked normal. I was like, wait, who is this? He looked like he confidently was just trying to get on the bus. I'm like, oh. Yeah, he does not need to be there.
Never mind.
Yeah, get him out of here. But so the portal. I don't know how much you've seen so far, but we've got, I want to say the update is maybe around 19 guys that have hit the portal. We'll start there before we even get to any of the guys you might have seen that are additions. But some notable names, Formby. I think Quay Russo and James Smith probably caught people by surprise the most. Anybody that you've seen in the portal that really caught your attention, that's departing, that you feel like might have been the biggest surprise, might be the biggest challenge to replace? Anything like that for you?
So the guys that we discussed last Tuesday, they officially hit the portal. The Cole Adams and Blockway, Lord.
Yep.
Who else was the other ones?
Jalen Hale,
So those guys.
Well, yeah, I was about to say.
The one that I guess surprised me was Keon Keeley. Right, he hit the portal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah, and I remember you kind of saying like we were kind of going through the depths of what we have right now. If the expected portal. Transfers were going to hit, and he was one of our guys that, we had him and Russo, but now we got him and Russo. So you tell me, we got to replace two, like, basically edge rushers. Are they the Jacks?
So, yeah, and in this system, they call them Wolves, but so Keeley would have been a bandit. It's same thing, though. Their Wolf is our Jack. Keeley was a bandit, which was more of like our strong side, and that would have been for you, maybe like a Boigby. Who else played that spot? Yeah, basically a Boigby, something like that. Long story short, though, yeah, we've lost a number of guys on that defensive line slash that front, right? Really front seven, if the three linebackers, they didn't hit the portal, but they graduated. And I just was surprised when, James Smith, Quay Russo, those to me were like foundational pieces, right, that you're going to build around. Two former five-star guys from the state of Alabama that had, to me, they hadn't even scratched the surface yet. I thought they had so much more potential in them. And so on one end, I understand Ha's tweet, right? I mean, like, listen, they might not, the production that you're losing might not be over the top. However, for me, I look at, and I know it's like the basic is production versus potential nowadays. But to me, I'm like, you're talking about guys that were going on, I think, year four for the both of them. I think it would have been their fourth year here. Veteran guys that had so much meat on the bone. To me, that you can't deny that. There's no denying that that's a loss, but I do think we'll be fine, but it just is unfortunate.
Well, we kind of start sounding hypocritical because we always preach development, and then you tell, basically say that, look at the production as a guy that's still developing. Mm-hmm. So how do you defer whether or not you're still wanting to develop these, kid or player? And But you're now saying, oh, well, here's the reason why they hit the portal, but he still had time to develop. We're kind of, that's kind of hypocritical. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. And to me, that's why I see both sides of it. I think it's, listen, and HaHa is right to the extent of there's going to be a lot of people that immediately see names. And they, and these fans, they have these strong reactions because they just go, man, we just saw this guy. He had two sacks. You know, he was coming along and they only see that. But I can go, I can show the tape, which I literally did. And I'll be the first one to, yeah. I'll show you all snaps, not just the highlights that will show you. I mean, you know, here's a mental error here. Here's some bad technique. Here's, here's this guy doing something that, you know what I mean? Like, we're not coaching. He shouldn't be doing that. You know, so I see both sides, but I'm with you too that, listen, there is a role in the coaches and the staff to get the most out of these guys. I mean, that's the point of it. If not, we might as well just be turned college football literally into the next pro league where it's not as much about development, you know, development, which is, it's going away from that. It's becoming, all right, we're just going to bring guys in here that are experienced, that are proven, that we can plug and play here. And the development piece is just kind of like, we'll put that on the back burner, which is unfortunate because, I mean, guys like you, guys like myself, that was our story. You know, we came, we waited our turn, we worked, we got an opportunity, we made the most of it. Nowadays, not really the same, which, you know, is part of it. But it's just weird because at Alabama, I never really, you know, even last year, we prided ourselves on, hey, we retained all these guys. We didn't have all these guys in the portal. This year, it's a different story. So it almost makes you wonder, is the philosophy in the building starting to change?
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. I have a feeling a lot has to do, I wouldn't say panic, but when you don't have the success that you thought you were going to have, like this year, hoping to win national championship, your idea and your philosophy, like you said, probably starts to change. And it starts to get a little more, we need to do what everybody else is doing because what we've been doing haven't been working. Mm. Because DeBoer's going on year three now, and he knows, unfortunately, if you don't win a national championship here, you're on the hot seat after a year, dang near. And two, for sure. Yeah. So I have a feeling that is probably changing the way they're going about building a team, which is so unfortunate because as a guy, to develop, wait their turn, sit behind guys, you know, practice what you preach. If you're saying one thing and then people were kind of like, well, you know, why are they transferring? Why are they transferring? Then you come back, not against HaHa, because I'm sure he's not the only one building. He's the only one that's probably said it publicly.
Right.
If you talk about development now, well, these guys still have time to develop. But you're kind of, are you pushing them out the door? Because I know that happens. Hey, we're not going to pay you as much this year, which, hey, if you are not showing what you were meant to be or what your expectations were, you're not reaching, you know. Yeah, like, I understand a conversation of getting paid less or the same amount, but I don't know. I mean, this new age is still crazy to me. I still don't understand it. We're going on about all the things that probably should happen now that they listen to us. But if they want to, we can talk about it.
I was about to say, probably because
I want an NIL deal.
I would love one. Listen, when I saw all these edge guys and stuff, I'm like, shit, I know I have, excuse my language, I know I have 5 years of playing time here, but I'm like, hell, I mean, I tore my bicep and I missed majority of the season. Can we pull one more year out? I mean,
would have found another way. Yeah.
I'll get my master. Oh, I already have a master's. So I already have a master's. So my doctorate or whatever degree I'm able to, which the trust with the NFL, they actually pay for you to go back to school. They don't even give me a scholarship. The trust will pay for me to go back to school. And then y'all just work me some NIL deals. I go make a smooth $400,000 or $500,000. I'll give you some rushes off the edge. Yeah. We'll all be good. I mean, hell, we need some more receivers. We're a little depleted there. We got some good players, but we need some depth. So maybe Slade, you can pull the string. But I want to ask you a question real quick. Oh, go ahead.
We already signed that papers. We already signed them. The declare. But trust me, I still got a couple more years left.
Wait, hold on, you did though. Yeah. Because you left early.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show before, but. I mean, kind of similar to you. Like, I had my fifth had a COVID year. Mm-hmm. But man, I love saving, right? Respecting. But I felt like I wasn't going to get as much opportunity the next year because I was rotating with a freshman, and I felt like it was going to be kind of the same situation going into the next year. So I was like, that's not going to help me get my draft higher unless I just, which I was going to try to, still earn my job, still show that I deserve to be the starting, receiver out of the three or whatever. But, and then also, like, I had a master's degree, so I'm like, well, I don't want to go to school anymore. I mean, because you have to. If you come back, you got to go to class. I mean, they could have been doing some easy stuff.
You could have took golf lessons. Isn't it like a golf class that people used to take? They used to go to Old Colony and just go swing the stick a little bit and get credits for that. I mean,
I should have done that because, obviously, my golf game has a lot of work.
Mine too. Wait, but let me ask you this. Did you consider transferring, though? I mean, because now, like you said, at the point, now it was different. But actually, no, you were around that time, maybe. But you said you graduated.
The portal had just opened up like out. School.
Hold on, Slade. I think you're going through a bad spot. Do this, Chase. Let's do this. Let's hit a quick timeout while he passes through that.
That would be good. And
oh, can you hear me, Slade?
You got me?
Yeah. It was going through a bad spot. Let me do this. Let me send it to break real quick on radio. Then we come back. That way it's smooth and we'll keep on rolling. So we don't get over on these breaks. But okay, we'll do that real quick. We'll take a quick timeout. Then we'll let Slade pick up where he left off. Because that was an interesting point. I never thought about that. Did Slade ever, all this transfer talk we're talking about, did Slade ever consider that? We'll ask him that. Plus, we got an ad message from Tia that about a wide receiver, a potential wide receiver that could be, I don't know. Maybe you can end up here. We'll see. But we'll ask Slade his thoughts on this.
Dodge Jeep Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. Just a few isolated showers through tonight. The high today 70, tonight's low 61. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Rain and thunderstorms by afternoon. Continuing tomorrow night, the rain heavy at times. The high 68. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, as we're joined by Slim Slady, former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden. And a couple of questions for Slade. Did you want to finish what you were saying before? I know the connection got bad, but I know we got a couple of questions, but I'll let you finish because you were in the middle of a thought there.
Right. Well, you know, obviously a lot of it has to do with the money, and I was just given a situation where, and then, you know, we were joking about, you know, where's our NIL deals and, you know, which there's, if there was a chance to go back and how much, obviously we both declared for the NFL, so you can't.
Right.
And more of one again another year. I had 2 years, technically. You know, I had my fifth year and then I had a COVID year. So, you know, obviously there was a decision to be made. And I was just like, you know what? And I had already kind of planned before the year to, you know, I had all these goals and unfortunately didn't really hit on that I wanted to. And you know, it happens. And, you know, but I was very kind of it. I got no questions. I went to school and I was like, well, if I go to school, I'm going to go ahead and get the best degree I can. Like, I don't know if you get a doctorate in business and entrepreneurship, but I was going to try. Or whatever it was, I wasn't just going to, you know, take the easy way. But that, and also I had to rotate with JoJo Earl at the time. And nothing against him. He's a great player. But, I felt like I earned, you know, more opportunities. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, I felt like if I'd have came back, I'd have been in the same situation, you know, rotating with a guy or possibly worse, lose my job. And so I was thought about that. And yeah, like I was going to do everything in my power to keep my job and get as much opportunity as I could. But at the end of the day, that's how saving works sometimes. Like it's hard for guys like me and you sometimes in that situation, but you know, I got to respect it because he looks at guys like, if I can get a freshman in now and get him acclimated to the speed of the game, because we know he's a great player and athlete, by year three, I have a first round investment and he's going to make our team even better. So I get that. And I wasn't the most athletic guy. But when it comes to transferring, it was either declare or transfer, right? Because I was like, if I come back, then who knows what will happen. But I like how Ty's probably thinking now, like if he was to stay another year, he probably knows that coming back wouldn't be the best opportunity for him. But man, like you love the Tide. You know, that's where you got your degree, where you made your name, you know, all the people and the staff, coaches, you name it, that you made connections with. I know that was going to take care of me throughout the rest of my life. And look, I'm loyal to a T, and you know, I committed to that school, and Coach Saban gave me an opportunity at the end of the day to play, and I'm forever grateful. So I was just like, I'm not transferring because, I mean, I'm Roll Tide for life, right? And maybe that's what Ty's thinking. So, yeah, but I could have got paid probably because, you know, NIL was the thing at that point. Probably not near as much as these guys, but, you know, I couldn't do it. But, man, you know, hindsight 2020, I go to training camp my rookie year, and I get a sports hernia.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd have got sports hernia and I'd have came back during, because it happened right like the second week of the training camp. And if I would have happened during fall camp, man, I'd have missed pretty much the whole season. So now I'm a 6 year. Do I transfer now? I just missed a whole season pretty much. So like, you know, things, everything is what ifs and, you know, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But I was like, I felt like I was eventually going to tear that because my other one was already torn when I got my MRI back. So I was like, that was probably bound to happen. So if I'd have came back and that happened during fall camp, then I may be in a worse spot. So, you know, it's all because I've had people ask like, well, why you shouldn't have left early. You hurt yourself. Like, you know, if you came back, you'd help your stock. I'm like, well, yeah, well, what if I came back, got hurt and I'm 6 year and then
that's
transfer.
A good point.
You know what I mean?
So, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Everything has for a reason, and you know, it's all part of the Lord's plan, and whatever that may be, you know, that's I'm thankful for. So, but yeah, that was kind of my decision making or my thought process during that time.
No, that makes perfect sense, and I wouldn't be shocked if that is something that Ty was having to at least include in his decision, that if I do come back, I've got not just one but two younger quarterbacks who without a doubt, they're going to keep developing. Who knows if they're both here, but even if it's just one, like you said, yeah. One would imagine that the leash would potentially be shorter this upcoming season if he did come back to school, just knowing that, you know, a guy like Keelan Russell sitting there, he's getting better. And, you know, the second half of the season for Ty, just unfortunately, there were some, you know, some bumps in the road, so to speak. And I'm not saying everything entirely. Like, we all know lack of running game, inconsistency up front. That also plays a role. But still, that said, I definitely think that probably went into it. And when there's rumors about Miami or Tennessee being potential landing spots, if he did hit the portal, I think he shared the same philosophy that you just shared, that you had when you were in that situation, that especially with him being a quarterback, I've already established a legacy here at the University of Alabama.
Yep.
If I go and transfer,
that's
even
the
if
word, legacy.
One,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, and it's like, even if I go and play just one season at the University of Miami, just, I mean, look at Carson Beck, a former Georgia guy, then now he's playing at Miami. Wow, he did win a championship at the University of Georgia, and I'm sure, I mean, it didn't seem like that situation went bad. I think they were ready to kind of give Gunnar Stockton a chance anyway. One would imagine that there's probably a little bit of a, I'm not saying like this hesitation, but it's probably going to be a little interesting. If he were to try to go back to Athens, I don't think they would like not want him, but it's not going to hold the same weight as if he would have just finished his career there entirely as a Georgia Bulldog, which makes perfect sense. And I think Ty probably thought about that. I love the University of Alabama. If I go play at Miami, it's kind of weird, not weird, but it's not going to have the same level of significance. And I want to ask you real quick, we're talking about quarterbacks, so I'll let you run. I know you're about to get out of here. The two young guys, Keelan Russell, Austin Mack, we've gotten to see them in, you know, limited playing time this past season. As of now, the expectation is both of these guys are going to be here competing for the job. I guess we got plenty of time. You never know. Maybe Mac, I think, could enter the portal if he chooses to do so. I don't think I'm not saying he does, but his answer definitely felt one way versus Keelan's answer when they were asked that. Say they both are here, Slade. How do you feel like that situation goes? And who do you think gives Alabama the best chance moving forward, both in the near term? I guess long term, the answer would be Keelan Russell. He's younger, but I guess going into next season, right? You got Austin Mack, who's a little bit older, been in the system longer, but you got Keelan Russell, who's got undeniable talent as well. And he's the guy that they brought here, the prize recruit that they brought to Tuscaloosa to be the future. But what have you seen with your eyes out of the two quarterbacks?
Well, I'll tell you this, they're going to continue to be battling up until probably the week of the first game, just because they don't, if they make a decision too early or they start giving one guy more reps with the ones than the other, those guys are so quick to leave. Because as a quarterback, especially as a Mac situation, not having as many years left, I mean, he's got to make a decision, and he don't have a whole lot of time to get in front of, you know, or showcase his ability to, you know, for the future. But I do believe, just based off what I've seen, especially if we're not able to get a good O-line to protect our quarterback, a guy like Keelan Russell, his ability to escape the pocket, make plays with his feet, that's somebody who's going to be better. Now, if we have a really good O-line and we're able to protect, I think Mac will probably be able to, you know, pick and pull and, you know, and kind of not manage the game better, but just, you know, overall probably be more efficient because, you know, he's getting the system a lot longer.
Exactly.
But overall, talent-wise, Keelan Russell is – and look, you know, get him in a year, let him adjust and acclimate, and, you know, maybe by year three we're rolling. But – or his year three. So, I don't know. But they're not going to – I'm telling you, they're going to try to wait it out as long as they can so they can have depth.
Both.
at least.
Well, yeah, no, and what's interesting is, though, that now that there's only that one portal window, I guess if you choose not to transfer right now, you really don't have a choice. You're kind of there unless you decide to maybe just sit out in hopes of maybe retaining that year. I don't know how that would work since I think Mac already received a red shirt early in his career. So I don't know. These new rules are kind of crazy, but I think you hit it spot on. I think in terms of improvising and navigating the pocket, man, watching Keelan Russell, even in practice in some of these scrimmages, man, I've seen him, man, he's made some plays where things are breaking down. He's improvising. He's rolling out, like, on the run. I mean, like, the zip he has throwing the football, it comes off his hand. I mean, it's different. But you can't deny Austin Mack either. And like you said, in terms of with his experience in the system, I've seen him develop tremendously from when I first saw him and dirting some balls every now and then, accuracy. Like one day, he'd have a day of practice where he looked like the best quarterback in the room. And there'd be another day where you're like, man, he's struggling today. I think he's really closed the gap on some of those inconsistencies, and he looks a lot more comfortable now. We're to the point where, like, if you had to go play a game tomorrow, I would feel more comfortable with Mac probably. However, I'm under the belief, like you, that, all right, it's January. By the time we take the field in September, there's a good chance Keelan Russell's going to close that gap, not from a talent perspective, but more so from the experience and the amount of reps that these guys are going to get through spring ball, summer, 7-on-7, and fall camp. So I think it's going to be interesting, and I really believe that over the next 8 months or so, there's going to be one hell of a competition. And I think we're in good hands either way. Like, really,
Very good problem to have.
Yeah, and even the young guys they brought in. I think that Jet Tamala guy, watching him, man, I think they got two quarterbacks that are true freshmen. Obviously, you're looking at those guys down the road, but I think they've shown some potential from, you know, what they did in high school and just getting some early looks at a guy like Tamala. And I like the other guy, the other quarterback, the guy, I think he's originally from Hawaii or something like that, man. He's got a big arm on him too. So that quarterback position is solid. Slade, we got a super chat real quick, and Adam's addressing it. So he said, Slade, when my girlfriend and I were at the capstone and the players were coming in, I think I was, he had said this last time, we wanted to get it to you. The players were coming in. You were the only one, you, Slade Bolden, were the only one who smiled and stopped to say hi to us. It was her birthday, and she never forgot it. Thanks for doing that. And she got to meet Coach Saban. So she got to meet the one and only Slade Bolden. And she got to meet the GOAT and another guy named Nick Saban.
Y'all, you're too funny. No, but that's awesome. I appreciate that. Definitely meeting Coach Saban was a lot cooler than meeting me. But, I mean, anytime I tell people this all the time, it means more to me than them. Being just, you know, the fact that they – you know, come out of their way to say hello to us and, you know, support us. Recognize me or whatever the case may be, want to take a picture. I that means more to me. So, but I thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. It made my day.
He mentioned last time, right when you got off, and I was like, man, I need to take a screenshot and send it to Slade. And I think I ended up staying on the stream an extra hour or something, breaking down tape. I forgot, but I'm glad Adam brought it back up. But he said that you were the only one.
Oh, that's Adam. I couldn't see. It was too far.
Yeah, you got Adam. Yeah. You got Adam who you need. You need his. What'd you say? You need to get his business information.
We both do.
Yeah. I told Adam, like, Adam, man, you got to. Adam needs to be. Listen, we opened up. We have a title sponsor opportunity. I mean, Adam, I think he said he's a lawyer or something like that, or it works. Yeah. I don't want to say all his business on here, but I think he mentioned in the chat.
Right.
Again, Adam, cool. Whatever business you have, man, we need to advertise it, man. Adam literally is like our prime investor on this. What do you call that? I mean, Adam is like, I don't know what you call it. He's got a lot of stake in the middle. He pretty much owns like a third of this brand at this point. So big thanks to Adam always for the support. Seriously. He promises he'll provide it as soon as it's up and running. It's a law firm. So
awesome. That's cool. Congratulations, brother.
And no, seriously. Yeah, no, listen.
And thank you for the kind words, Adam. That was nice.
No, absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Adam's the man. And even cooler is, like, he watched my dad play because he's from up north. He watched my dad while my dad played in the league. And then he's a big Alabama fan. So he got to watch him play, then me. And now he watches us do the show. So it's really cool. And some people are like, oh, yeah, I remember your dad playing. But Adam legit is like, no, I was at this game and at this stadium, and I remember he made this play, and I was like, holy crap. Like, nah, he legit, like, has been watching my dad for years, which is dope, man. Somebody said, I need a job, Christian. Hey, listen, if you can edit videos and stuff, we could probably work something out, Chris. You gotta
hey, Samuel, I'm gonna need to run here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say one more thing about, like, you know, we talked about legacy and Ty leaving and the Carson Beck situation. Man, like, there's one thing, especially like quarterback Ty, we both know that this game does not last forever and it can go away just like that. And what Ty's been able to do, and amongst a bunch of other guys, if you know, because we don't know when this game is going to end. So a lot of times it retires us, you know, an injury, whatever. Mm-hmm. But let's just, you know, and this is not just Ty, it's just an example. God forbid something was to happen, but to a guy like Ty or anybody, man, he will, because of what he did on the field during his time at Bama, he will be forever taken care of from a job, support, anything for the rest of his life because of that. And that's one thing that I thought about, and I believe he probably thought about that too.
Absolutely. No, you're right. And he did it the right way. He waited his turn. You know, he bleeds crimson. He's always been very prideful of this university, and he's earned every bit of it. And you're right. He's always going to be welcome back here and be able to maximize any opportunity he has in the future. Hell, Adam probably will hire him at his law firm one day and get Ty Simpson.
I don't know if Ty's that smart. He's smart, but maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. The law is different. Yeah, you're right. That takes a lot. Well, Slade, y'all be safe on that road. I appreciate you making things work just to hop on here, man. And again, big thanks to your girlfriend who's driving. Y'all be safe, and we'll have to get back connected maybe next week, because we'll probably have some more news and updates with the circus that we're dealing with. So we'll touch base then, sure. Brother. Hey, be safe down in Baton Rouge, man. It gets a little crazy down there now.
It does. Hey, it's all right. I'm a little crazy too. That's all good.
Yeah. Ain't mine now. Just y'all be easy, man. We'll see you next week, bro.
All right, Samuel. Appreciate it, yes, brother. Sir. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Always, man. Slim Slady joins us pretty much. He's like an honorary co-host, man, at this point. Man, love getting him on here. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep diving into what's going on here. Now, again, I know there's some visits. Somebody was like, it's a little quiet today with the portal news. Well, there's some visits. And so we'll pull those guys up. We'll pull some tape up for those guys and see what they have to offer. One of those guys being the safety, got some good length. I want to say he was listed like 6'4". So we'll see what he's working with when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
What's next on the Deep South College Football Show with Wyatt Fulton?
Coming up on the Deep South College Football Show from 1 to 2 p.m., it's college football playoff semifinal games. We'll talk about Ole Miss and Miami, as well as Indiana and Oregon on the Deep South College Football Show from 1 to 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The Deep South College Football Show, weekdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on the free Tide 100.9 app. Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
29. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by actually no one right now, right? I forgot. We actually are open as for a title sponsor. So that leads me to the next thing. If you guys are interested in joining the team, joining the family, again, it's a new year, got new opportunities to open up. And the big one, the title sponsor of the show actually is available right now. So if you guys are interested, if you guys have a business or know anybody that has a business, again, it doesn't even just have to be local, because we expand. I mean, the app reaches all over. The stream is all over. We're expanding our platforms, and we're bigger than ever and continuously growing at a very fast pace. Contact us, millersedge.com. There's a section where you can get more contact information, or the email is easy. If you want to shoot us an email, millersedge@outlook.com. We'd be glad to talk with you guys about potential opportunities, working with us, sponsorships, advertising opportunities, all that good stuff, endorsements. Is really good. And I mean, I can get testimonials from our clients, man. It's been great stuff, man. We've gotten a lot of good feedback, which is really awesome to hear. So make sure you guys tap in if you're interested in that. All right. A couple things that I want to hit while we've got about 12 minutes or so left. Chase, I know Pat called in earlier. It's been a while. Is Pat still with us? If he is, I'd be glad to take his phone call real quick. If not, we got an app message that we also need to hit. So depending on where we're at with that, I guess that'll determine where we go. Is Pat still with us? He's here. All right, let's do it. Without further ado, let's go to the phone lines. We got Pat on the line. Pat, welcome in.
Man, I enjoyed Slade. I called him my jackknife. He could play a little bit of anything. He was an amazing athlete, or is an amazing athlete.
Absolutely.
But anyway, hey, what I called about is a lineman that we got visiting from LSU. See what you know about him. Name is DJ Chester, I think. I mean, look, prototype size, 6'6", 315 pounds. I think he's played like nearly 1,000 college snaps. Is he what we need to protect these young quarterbacks? Do we have a chance of landing him?
I'll be honest with you, Pat. I have not seen his tape, but that would give us somebody else to watch. So I will pull him up.
He's visiting today.
Yeah, I got you. I'll pull him up. I haven't watched him, so I don't have any thoughts on him, if I'm being completely honest with you. But okay. I'll say this. For our offensive line right now, I mean, we need bodies, number one. So, I mean, whether he's a guy with experience that you're bringing in to take over a starting job and make an immediate impact, or even just come compete and you're hoping that he can be a body. I don't know how much eligibility he has, so I have to do more research. But I'll say this, man. I mean, right now, the way things look, you've got Michael Carroll who re-signed, who you expect him to play right tackle, but you also can bump him back to playing guard because he's also comfortable there. Will Sanders, I like Will Sanders. I mean, not the biggest guy, but he's scrappy, you know, good technique. And I think he's probably a good, strong candidate for a guy to step up into that offensive line starting group. And then really, you know, center, I know you bring in the kid from Michigan, but he's young. So I label him as somebody that's competing. I don't necessarily pencil him in as a sure starter. But outside of that, left tackle, left guard, those are important. So if this guy has SEC experience, he's played, even if he's not maybe like the best product or polished product, at least he's a guy that you know has played snaps in this conference, and you hope that he can at least give you somebody to put in there. Kind of like, you know, look, you saw what we got out of Dewberry. You know, he had experience at Texas A&M, maybe not the best product, but at this point you need as many bodies as possible. So I'm going to watch his tape, and I'll definitely get back with you probably tomorrow. Or if you want to come check us out on the stream, I'll give you more thoughts. We did watch Peak. We watched Peak from North Carolina State. I can give you my thoughts on him. He's fluid in space, has a nice kick step to him. He's more athletic type of tackle compared to what we've seen over the last 3 years with Caden Proctor. Now, he is, with him being more of an athlete, you know, he's a little more susceptible to power, watching him, you know, take on some of that speed and power from Bain, who is probably a top 10 pick. You know, it was a little hard for him to hunker down. So it's kind of, you got to pick and choose sometimes, unless you have a guy who's elite, who's like Cam Robinson, who has sweet feet, as I would call it. I mean, elite kick step. I mean, he's getting to the spot. I mean, great change direction, long arms, great punch, but also can hunker down and be powerful. Those guys are hard to come by. I would not label Peak as that. Yeah. He's a little bit more of the athletic guy, but not as strong. But I think for what this system asks out of their players, I feel like he would probably fit well in terms of the movement, the things like that. You know, we need help with speed rushers. I think he's probably a better fit at left tackle. So hopefully you give that guy some attention.
I appreciate you. You know most everything. But my question is, I'm a little bit concerned about running back. Yeah, he had a lot of yards in North Carolina State, but his pass blocking leaves a tremendous amount to be desired. I went in depth on him as far as what his ability to do. He catches, has good natural hands, has ability to catch a ball out of the backfield, make people miss in space. But pass blocking is a detriment, and that I'm worried to death about that. I mean, we're in the same situation. We could be down to no quarterbacks. But if they get hit the way that poor Ty got hit this past year, God bless his heart.
Yeah, well, I mean, now people know what Jalen Milroe was dealing with. He just covered it up some with his athletic ability. That's what we kept trying to tell everybody. I mean, it's not easy playing the position when you don't have the guys around you playing up to their standard. But no, but you're right. It's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. But I think, I mean, that should be the main priority. I have to go back and watch some of the pass pro snaps of Smothers. I haven't seen a whole bunch of them. You know, I was trying to watch some of it when we were watching Peak, but I was so focused on Peak that I kind of forgot to go back and watch Smothers. So I was curious about that. That was my first comment when we did land him. I said, everything I see out of him tells me he's got explosive ability, can catch the football out of the backfield, does a good job, you know, reading things, you know, putting his foot in the ground, making those cuts and exploding through gaps, and nice breakaway speed, right? All that translates to things that we hadn't really seen out of our running back room in some time. But I don't think we had anybody that had that true breakaway speed, that explosive ability from that unit. So that is a plus. But I did follow that up by saying, in terms of pass pro, I don't know much about that, and that is important. The good news is you do have other backs in there as well, right? I mean, so hopefully you can keep developing a guy like Daniel Hill, who can learn to play behind his pads, who can learn to utilize that big 245-pound frame. So maybe Daniel Hill becomes a little bit more of a third-down option at times, just almost for protection purposes, but also can catch the football out of the backfield. So just gives you something else to work with, and I think it's a big pickup. I just think the biggest thing right now is offensive line. All our attention needs to probably be on the offensive line, if you ask me. That's just my opinion.
Sure. But, you better find some big uglies that can play outside linebacker and defensive middle guards and all that kind of crap. We in serious crap trouble because, hey, when we lost, everybody said they won't tell about Keeley. He looked like at the end of the season he was coming along, and it may have just been that he was lucky on a few plays. I don't know, but he's supposed to have had all kind of potential, and he's gone.
Yeah, well, and I pulled up the tape, and again, that's what we always do, man. We don't go off of highlights. We go off of tape, and I'll be the first one to tell you, not even that. I mean, even as going to practices, I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you. I mean, Keon Keeley was putting it together. He was making progress, but by no means was a finished product, and he still had a ways to go, but it still hurts, though, regardless. Even that said, just because you've been working with him and you've been, you know, getting so much out of him, and now he looked like he finally was starting to turn the corner a little bit, and that's the disappointing part, but it's part of it, man. And you just got to go to the next man up mentality, or the next man in, as we probably should start saying, because you got to bring them in from the portal. So,
yeah.
Pat, I appreciate the call, man. Good stuff. And like I said, I'll go back and watch the young
man
from LSU.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk soon, man. Thank you so much. Good deal. Well, all right. Well, we got to get out of here early on the radio side of things, but all our listeners on the stream, both YouTube and Facebook, don't go anywhere. We're hanging around. We're going to dive into some tape. We want to break it down like we like to do. We'll answer more questions, and we'll keep on rolling on the stream side of things. But for radio, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday. Big thanks to all our supporters, all our listeners via Tide 100.9, whether it's FM, 1230 WTBC AM, the app, people listening all over. We appreciate all the support that we have, plus all the folks behind the scenes like Chase and others that make it happen in terms of producing this show. On that note, we will see you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.